This is a business radio show where we talk about the craziness of small business. It's that craziness that actually makes it exciting, interesting, and totally unpredictable. This is Business Insanity Talk Radio with your host, Barry Maltz.
Well, thanks for joining this week's radio show. Remember, this is your final word in small business. For those keeping track, this is now show number 440. This episode is provided by Nextiva, the answer to all your business communication solutions in the cloud. Well, experts say that 93% of all communication is nonverbal. And of course, being effective at communicating with your customer, your vendors, your employees is critical to your success. Here to help is Tracy Brown, who's the author of How to Detect Lies, Fraud, and Identity Theft. She's a three-time U.S. collegiate cycling champion and former member of Team USA. Tracy, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So I'm trying to understand, how do you go from being a cycling champion to talking about nonverbal communications?
Well, the actual road is pretty long, but the way to tell you is pretty short. it's because it's taken me, 25 years to get to where I am now. But I started out bike racing, and I found out quick biking's for little people. It's not for big people, and I'm pretty tall. And so I had to find some different ways to be able to anticipate what my competition was going to do. And when I say my competition, I mean people I was racing with, like other women, but also I train with the men, including guys like Lance Armstrong and George Hincapie and all those guys that you've heard about that have caused a little trouble lately, but they were still fast way back then. And so I would look for little things and anticipate what they were going to do next and be able to outsmart them. And when I started to pay attention to, like, the drop of a shoulder or the waggle of their hips or the angle of their back, that's when I began to win, when I paid attention to that stuff more than the terrain. And I wanted that same level of knowledge when I got into business, and I found out that the body language was the key again. Like, what were the people across the table from me really thinking? And how could I be a step ahead of them? How could I really use that information to persuade and influence? And it turned out that body language was the key.
Yeah, this is a really important topic, because I believe ever since Trump was elected president, we really live in a post-truth society. Mm-hmm. You know, you talk about fake news and things like that. How do you tell the difference between truth and lie these days?
Well, you know, with fake news and alternative facts, that's the other one. That's
right,
the brand
exactly.
new kind of lie. there's a lot of different kinds of lies. So you got omissions, exaggerations, deceptive denial, like a lot of different ones. But fortunately, the reason that the FBI and the police and the CIA use body language to figure out who's lying is because the tells are the same. No matter if it's a big lie, like something that could cause the end of a relationship or who knows, a war, to the little lies, like, oh, you haven't changed a bit when you see your sort of friend at a 20-year reunion, right? So what you want to look for is the difference between, when the words and the body language don't match. So
give us an example, Tracy. What are some of the giveaways?
So if I nodded my head yes, right, and then I said, I would never do that, you can visualize in your head how there's a contradiction there, right? Because the body can't lie. Words can lie. The body can't lie. And so, or if I shook my head no and said, oh, that is a beautiful baby, then that says, wait a minute, maybe not the case. And Bill Clinton, you know, he nodded his head just real gently, yes, and he said, I did not have sexual right. relations with that woman, right? So I think the trouble that we have in Washington now is that Trump has a little bit of a problem with believing his own lies, and that puts him into the sociopath kind of department, I guess, when you want to start to classify things. So he pretty much makes up his own reality, and that's how it is. And so, you know, a little bit troubling there in politics, and that's why he's not going to show a lot of the signs of a typical liar. He falls into the probably about 15% of people who believe their own lies, and that's why we have trouble that's why we have trouble reading him. Now, Kellyanne Conway, who they pulled off TV, is not that way. And so you can tell when she's lying and when she's not really easily. We don't see her a lot anymore because she couldn't manage to stick to the truth at all. So yeah, we definitely have some trouble there. Beyond that, when I do commentary on debates and hearings and things like that, those are the hearings are a little bit easier for me to look at and figure out who's lying than the debates. Because in the debates, you notice they ask questions, and the candidates have practiced their answers for maybe a month. And the more you practice certain lines, the more you can rub out the signs. They're not all gone, but the more you can rub them out. And when people are put on the spot in a hearing, that's when you see a lot more signs of deception, if indeed they are trying to pull the wool over our eyes, because it's a little more organic.
So we're talking with Tracy Brown. She's the author of How to Detect Lies, Fraud, and Identity Theft. So, Tracy, when it comes to business, what do I look for in those little tells to see if their body language and what they're saying is inconsistent?
So you want to notice when people's behavior shifts. And that's the number one thing that our law enforcement looks for when they're doing interrogations, is what's their baseline behavior. And when the topic shifts to something a little more sensitive, does their behavior shift, right? So are they fidgety normally and then they go really still? Or do they have a certain eye blink rate and then it dramatically changes? Are they answering questions differently in their responses? Because most of us will have the same look as if, let's say, I asked you, what are you going to do? Or let's see, what would be a good question? What are you going to do tomorrow for the long weekend? And your eyes went up, down, and left and right, and you said, we're going to have a barbecue. Well, your answer should be the same as, hey, what street did you grow up on?
Right.
Up, down, left, right. Right. That should be kind of the same answer, right? And that's how you start to pick out identity theft, is because a lot of identity theft, it turns out, is face-to-face. And we don't hear about it, right, because you hear about cyber this and cyber that. Well, there's a lot of it face-to-face. People walk into banks and payday loan stores wanting accounts and loans and things like that, and they're not who they say they are. So the answer should look about the same as any other answer. When it looks different, that's when you go, wait a minute, something's not right here. And I saw this illustrated really beautifully in the I don't know if it was beautiful or not, because it's kind of a sad thing, but when Dr. Phil interviewed Burke Ramsey from the JonBenet Ramsey murder case, mm-hmm. the 20-year anniversary of it, that's still never really been solved.
Right.
And Dr. Phil asked him, hey, did you hear anything? And his answer, the way he looked when he answered, dramatically shifted from the way he told the events of the day previously. So yeah, he heard something, and he knows more than he's saying. So that's how you can sniff these things out.
See, for me, I had an employee where whenever she was telling the truth, she'd look away, and whenever she was lying, she looked directly at me to try to convince me even more.
Exactly.
It was kind of an opposite. And for me, when I'm lying, everybody out there, I'll tell you what my tell is, I get really, really quiet. Normally, I talk a lot, but when I'm lying, I don't say too much. I kind of keep it to myself, so I'm giving that away right now.
Okay, well, we all know that, but that's real, for one, good for you for knowing what your tell is, and you'd probably agree with me when you say it's hard to change. Like, it's really hard to change that behavior. Like, to hide it would be tough for you, would it not?
Yeah, that's why I consider myself a really bad liar, right? I think there are some people that are really good at it, but I am really bad at it, Tracy.
You know what? There's worse things to be bad at, we want to stick to the truth. Generally, I mean, sometimes you lie to just smooth things over, right? Like, oh, you know what? No, your butt doesn't look big in those jeans, right? Things like that. Starting to the point that we can make from from knowing that you're a bad liar is that, you know what, people have the same patterns all the time. And when you start to know people's patterns, you can understand when they deviate from that, and they're going to go into a different pattern. And so that's when you got, they call it a hot spot on your hands. Now, you never want to incriminate on one nod of the head, one shake of the head. But when you get three or four that are in, you know, a very close cluster, that's when for sure someone's pants are on fire.
I would agree. Tracy, thanks for being on the show. If you want to get in touch with Tracy, it's www.bodylanguagetrainer.com. Tracy, thanks again.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Coming up, how to get small teams to work together, according to a former Navy SEAL. This is AM 560 The Answer. We'll be right back.
Can you get from here to there? We've got the answer from the Alarm Detection Systems Traffic Center.
I'm Paul Bodenloss with a look at the roadways. In Round Lake, Nipissing is closed between Fairfield and Wilson. That's closed for flooding. And also in Barrington, Rawson Bridge is closed between Roberts and Tuxedo Lane. And that's closed for ongoing flooding as well. Now on the Edens outbound at Wilson, the exit ramp remains closed. That continues until 10 a.m. And also on the Kennedy outbound at Keeler, that on-ramp is closed. That continues until 10 a.m. Now, between Keeler and the junction, road construction has the three right lanes closed. That continues until 8 a.m. After that, the right lane is closed until 10 a.m. And also on the outbound Eisenhower Canal, the on-ramp remains closed. That continues until the summer of next year. I-57 inbound between Halstead and the Dan Ryan has road construction as well. Tonight, 71 and partly cloudy. Tomorrow, 86 and partly cloudy. Currently, 77. Next update in 15 minutes on AM 560, The Answer.
Ivanka Trump made a rare live appearance on Fox and Friends.
Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson.
When she speaks, I just go to my happy place.
That's why Jared Kushner married her, I suppose.
She could speak because he doesn't.
Exactly. No one has ever heard Jared Kushner speak to this day. He just points to her. I wonder how he took his vows.
No, he just nodded.
I think she is an asset to President Trump.
Chicago's Morning Answer. Weekday mornings starting at 5 on AM 560. The Answer.
You've already upgraded your cell phone to a smart device, which lets you use the internet to be more productive on the go. But what about your desk phone? Nextiva is a smart business phone system in the cloud. With a simple setup through an internet connection, you can soon have access to your office communications wherever you are. Stay seamlessly connected with clients and stay more mobile than ever before for just one low monthly cost. Give your business more than just a basic desk phone. Visit Nextiva.com or call 800-799-0600 to learn more today. Nextiva.
Nextiva.
Simplifying your business communications. Get a copy of Barry's new book, BAM, where he shows how social media and our self-service world has rewritten all the rules of customer service. The best marketing now is BAM, good customer service. Be the first to tweet Barry at Barry Moult and get a free copy of the book.
Lately, it seems you're not feeling quite right, as if your body is working against you. Dr. Amy and Associates can help create a path to achieve optimal health. Experience personalized health care for your mind, body, and spirit at a practice that blends holistic and traditional medicine.
Dr. Amy has really helped me. After experiencing a divorce in my 50s, I wasn't sure how to handle the stress and changes I was about to encounter. I needed to find a new profession since my ex-husband and I had worked together at our own company, plus there were other challenges with our own grown kids, family, and friends. It was wonderful to have Dr. Amy's guidance through this difficult situation. She kept me on track and assured me I was thinking correctly. She made a very hard time easier, and I will forever be grateful. If you're going through some hard life struggles, I would highly recommend Dr. Amy and Associates.
Call Dr. Amy and Associates to experience a whole person integrative approach to health and wellness. 630-980-1400 or visit DrAmyAndAssociates.com. Dr. Amy and Associates, empowering people, changing lives.
Stick around and get your small business unstuck. More of Business Insanity Talk Radio with Barry Moults. Now on AM 560, The Answer.
Well, a lot of small businesses focus on how do you get people inside a team to work together. But probably more important is how do you get all those small teams inside your company to then work together. My next guest has a solution for that. Former Navy SEAL Chris Fussell is a partner at the McChrystal Group Leadership Institute, co-author of General Stanley McChrystal's 2015 bestseller, Teams of Teams, and now has a new book out called One Mission, How Leaders Build a Team of Teams, which is now a Wall Street Journal bestseller. Chris, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Barry. Appreciate you having me on.
So why is it so important that we focus on teams working with other teams rather than just teams working inside themselves effectively?
Right. This is one of the major issues that we encountered in the first years of conflict after 2001, where we started realizing we were facing networked problems. And so we'd come up in a world, just like industry had, where you could develop a big enterprise with great small teams that would go out and solve unique problems. Suddenly, we had an interconnected issue out there on the battlefield, and so we had to connect our teams to fight that as well. And that's the challenge that industry is now facing as the information age starts to dominate almost every space.
And so, Chris, why is it changing now?
It's because technology, I mean, this is what we learned. The technology that's out there allows people to connect across global boundaries at light speed with a very, very small barrier of entry. That used to be a really hard thing to accomplish. Now you can pick up a smartphone, establish a Twitter account, and if enough people want to listen to your idea, well, then you've got this huge network. So problems can connect in ways that traditional systems aren't built to handle.
Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, you watch a lot of these old military shows and you have all these small teams going off and doing whatever they can do and then really know what the other teams are doing. But now you actually know in real time.
Yeah, that's right. And you know, we love to make movies about the small team and the people on it. And that's really interesting human story there. And so we all want to be part of that. But it's just not sufficient anymore. You have to connect those teams to one another if you're going to move fast enough as an enterprise. But when you try to connect teams, then you get into the really hard part because every team has its own little sort of tribal norms. And that's one of the big challenges that we encountered.
So in your book, One Mission, you talk about that you have to really build a single aligning narrative for all the teams to really work together. That seems like a huge task.
It is, and it's a great place for any organization to start at the thinking about this, which is, I'm sure you have a bumper sticker on your wall that says, you know, be the best in the market or win or whatever the case may be. But those are just motivational statements. A truly aligning narrative has to force those teams to consider whether or not they stay in their comfortable little tribal space or they become part of this bigger story, which will then force them to overcome the tribal differences they have with one another. And it's up to leaders to come up with that story that all these teams want to be part of.
But, Chris, how do you do that? Because a lot of times what really wins out are the leaders of the small teams or the small teams themselves really just working in their own self-interest.
That's absolutely right. And that was a huge hurdle for us as we were bringing together different parts of the military, special operations community, intelligence partners, et cetera. And the onus was on our leaders to find a way to force transparency into that system so that leaders that were doing exactly what you just described, going back to where it was comfortable, were exposed to others. And pressure and an understanding that there was a spotlight on all of us forced people to do the right thing in many ways in the early days. And then we understood the power of it, and we all got on board. But our leaders created massively transparent communication structures that thousands of people participated in, and that created the openness inside the organization that forced us to overcome that problem that you just described.
Now, you also talk about in the book that you also create these liaison networks that work across the silos. Are these particular people, or are they just the transparency networks that you're talking about?
Yeah, those are specific people. This was a critical part of what our leaders started to do for us, which was, okay, tribes don't, a small team being a tribe, they're more similar than they realize. They just never work together, so they don't trust each other. So we started exchanging people between these units, and the person would come back and say, actually, they're pretty similar to us, and now I know people over there, and we're going to develop relationships. And we've done the same work in industry, where you start to exchange personnel or grab personnel in one unit and force them to think along and establish relationships with other divisions. And just those points of connectivity can really be a driving force in overcoming that tribalism that slows us all down.
So what's confusing to me is that, again, I only know about the military, unfortunately, about what I've watched in movies. But my understanding is that sometimes this tribalism of the guy next to you committed to me, the guy who's beside you, really is what drives you. And now you're asking people to buy into a larger vision. Does the lack of tribalism actually hurt trying to get to that goal?
Yeah, it's a great question. And what we describe in One Mission and what we actually became, in my opinion, looking back, is sort of a hybrid structure where you have the big traditional system, but you also have layered into that these sub-networks. So we remained big and stable, but we were also able to move with great agility. And so at the small team level, you started to see both sides of this, where you said, okay, in my small team, that's still the tight brotherhood mm-hmm. that you might see in a movie or read in a book about the military. But we as a collective tribe, we also see the importance of this overarching mission we're trying to accomplish. And so we're incentivized and see the value in creating these cross-boundary relationships. So everyone became comfortable living in both those spaces at the same time.
So in the book One Mission, you also talk about that you have to empower the employees to really execute on their own. But at the same time, you have to have these overall guardrails. Again, that's a difficult balance.
It is. And I mean, that's sort of the coin of the realm in today's world, where everything's moving so fast. Network problems change, minute by minute sometimes. So leaders want to get decision-making rights down to those that are closest to these issues, because by the time they report back up, the issue will have changed three or four times, right? So that sounds great on paper, but how do you do it? So the first was creating these large communication structures that we were just talking about, but then decentralizing very specific decision rights down into those teams, which allowed you to differentiate between new players and very experienced players, et cetera. So if you're the very experienced person on one team, you might have 20 things that you're expected to do without asking permission. If I'm new, I might have two or three things. And so you can put a governor on certain people, and then they sort of earn their way up to becoming a much more empowered and decentralized player over time.
Chris, one of the things that I'm continually surprised about, and we all know there's a lot of bureaucracy in government and military, but it's amazing to me, even in a 6 or 8 person organization, how much bureaucracy there really is. How do you break down those barriers?
Well, it's really interesting, and some of the history we try to give in One Mission lays out the background on the creation of bureaucracy, which weren't created to be evil machines. They were actually created in many ways to overcome sort of the family caste system that would have dominated Europe. So it gave people an opportunity to come into a system and, through their own ability, work their way up. So in many ways, we're hardwired to think like that. But we're also very tribal by our nature. So I think in the grand scope of things, we'll have this 150-year period of history where bureaucracy really dominated because that's all we could come up with. It was the best system for a long time. So we're still hardwired to think like that. But now we're entering this age of network interconnectivity, which pulls us back into our sort of even deeper tribal connectivity-based part of our DNA. And so that's the phase we're entering right now. But we're going to have to, break a little bit of the habit that we've had over the last 100 years that's developed inside of very traditional bureaucratic systems.
Yeah, it's not really easy. The last question I have with you, the 30 seconds we have left, is how do you figure out the number of people you actually need to accomplish a certain task? Because you don't want all the bureaucracy of a bloated organization.
Yeah, that's exactly the point. You'll in today's world, you can't figure that out. You have to allow the teams that are closest into that problem to determine what makes sense in the moment. And then let them, from the bottom up, create the team that they need very quickly. If you try to centralize that and say, okay, here's the plan, by the time the plan gets down there, the situation will have changed, and so it will no longer be effective.
Well, Chris, thanks for being on the show, and thank you for all your service. If you want to reach Chris, you can go to @FusselChris. It's FUSSELL, Chris. Chris, thanks so much.
Thanks, Barry. I appreciate it, Chris.
Coming up, there's a lot of bad advice out there, like do what you love and the money will follow. How to figure out what's real, what you should follow, and what's just plain fake news. This is AM560 The Answer. Be right back.
Larry Elder sees a glaring issue with the media.
The Center for Public Integrity identified 430 people who were, quote, journalists, reporters, news editors, or television anchors. What percentage of the money that they gave went to Hillary, do you think, of these 430 journalists? 96% of the nearly $400,000 that they gave went to Clinton. 96%.
The Larry Elder Show. Weeknights at 7, right before Jay Sekulow at 9 on AM 560. The Answer.
Fox News Radio, I'm Chris DeMeo. 8 illegal immigrants are found dead inside a tractor trailer in San Antonio, Texas. Their cause of death believed to be from dehydration. Now, they were among more than 30 inside the trailer. The rig's driver faces charges. As the Senate gears up for a vote on repealing Obamacare next week, one Republican is saying he doesn't support repealing the law without a replacement.
Obamacare is broken. It's not working for Ohio. It needs to be repealed, but it also needs to be replaced. We cannot put Ohioans through this process of repealing Obamacare and then seeing their rates go up even further.
Ohio Senator Rob Portman. A New Jersey man wins the 2017 World Series of Poker, taking home more than $8 million in prize money. Fox News. We report. You decide.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer. From the Alarm Detection Systems Traffic Center.
Good morning. Happy Sunday. I'm Jeremy Scott with your look at the roadways. Not looking too bad anywhere you need to go, as we're seeing no delays, no accidents. Slowing you down. There is, however, one problem on the inbound Dan Ryan, right around 18th, where you are seeing a right lane taken out with a stall car. That should be picked up here shortly. Now, don't forget, through Grant Park, Lollapalooza set up, closes Balboa, Columbus to Lakeshore Drive. That's going to last until Thursday, August 10th. This traffic update is sponsored by TrueCar. With TrueCar, you can see what others paid for the car you want, so you can recognize a great deal. TrueCar users, on average, save over $3,000 off MSRP. For new or used cars, visit TrueCar for a more confident car buying experience. Today, it's going to see about the same as what we saw yesterday, with chance of storms, temperatures in the mid to upper 80s. Right now, at O'Hare, it's 74, 75, Midway, 72, Lake. That's traffic on AM 560, The Answer.
Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company. Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company.
With Barry's 25 years in small business, he has finally discovered the magic formula to make more profit at any company. Business gurus make it sound so complicated, but it's really simple. The formula is P times P equals P. P times P equals P, where people multiplied by process means more profit. Learn how you can take a quantum leap in just 180 days to grow the profit in your business. Contact Barry at barry@moltz.com. That's barry@moltz.com.
Are you stuck? Is this the year you finally grow your business and make more money? During Barry's many years of running his own company, he had to deal with the challenges of a business that just wasn't going anywhere. It was a painful realization. His business had flatlined, and he had no idea how to breathe new life into it. It was especially difficult for Barry since his customers were not getting the service he was so passionate about delivering. Second, he wasn't making any money. Finally, his business was sucking the life out of him. Do any of these sound familiar? Your sales won't budge in spite of your best efforts. You have few new leads for customers coming in and existing customers fading away. You're burned out and completely exhausted. It's no longer fun, and your family suffers as well. If you're one of the millions of small business owners facing these problems every year, Barry has the answer. Check out BarryMoltz.com/unstuck to subscribe to his 6-part video series.
Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies.
For 5 years, I was with this other company, and I tried everything, and it was costing me a fortune. And on top of that, it wasn't working. And I said, ever since I've taken this product, I have kissed that goodbye. Matter of fact, I said, this has been the first winter that I have gone through without a flu or nothing.
Last year, I started on the Balance of Nature. I'm telling you, it really built me up, and it really helped me.
my cholesterol went down. Only after taking it 1 month, I went down 20 points.
I feel better already with it.
I just feel it's made my life more predictable, more useful.
Take Dr. Howard's health challenge and find out how to get 2 free sets of fruits and veggies. We'll even ship them to you free. Call now for details. Call 1-800-246-8751. That's 1-800-246-8751. Or go online to balanceofnature.com. Use promo code Chicago.
Now, back to Business Insanity Talk Radio. It's time to get your small business unstuck on AM 560. The Answer. Once again, here's Barry Maltz.
Well, one of the worst pieces of advice I've ever heard in small business is to do what you love and the money will follow. That's just plain wrong. Here to sort out through some of the conventional wisdom that is just plain wrong is Jonathan Siegel. He's the founder of RightCart, Right Signature, and Right Scale. He's also the chairman and founder of Xenon Ventures. Jonathan, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Barry. Thanks for having me.
So first of all, why are there all of these things like do what you love, money will follow, failure is not an option? Why do all these things exist out there and people just clamp onto them?
You know, if I knew that, it would have saved me so much pain.
Me too.
Because I went through and instead of seeing all the rakes in the grass, I figured out how to step on every single one of them to figure that out myself.
And get hit in the head, right?
I got hit in the head so many times.
And so let's take each one of these and kind of dismantle them, because I think there is a little bit of truth in a lot of them. You know, first is, you know, do what you love and the money will follow. Why is following your passion such a bad startup idea? Most people have said, hey, you got to have passion for whatever you do.
So, you know, I see both sides of this so clearly. And you know, I love to think that the thing that gets me out of bed in the morning to do, that thing that I can be so passionate about, that should somehow, you know, cosmically align with me making money. And you need money. Money is just a fact of life if you want to have a business that thrives and supports you so that you can continue to do that thing. And unfortunately, rather than being a contributor to success, in my own personal history, passion has blinded me more than supported me. So when I've been on the wrong path, and every reasonable indicator has said that I've been pointing in the wrong direction, my passion sort of pushed me forward anyway. So as I was losing money or taking investors' money and doing all these steps that I thought I should do because I was passionate, I was just digging a hole deeper and deeper and deeper in reality. So I don't think that passion, that you can be devoid of passion. But if you can imagine two different businesses, one you're really passionate about, but it's just going to sort of suck money out of your pocket, and if you have investors, their pockets, and then have to be this death spiral into the ground, or another business, which you might not have the same passion for, but ends up becoming profitable and gives you reward every day that you go into business and you can feel better in your family and with your friends. You could see that there's actually a lot of attraction to the business that you might not necessarily be passionate about on day one.
I think there's really two things in this statement, you know, do what you love and the money will follow and follow your passion. I think you have to follow your passion, but as you said, you can't have the passion blind you. And also, just having passion without any skill or good people to support you or solving a problem that customers are willing to pay to solve just won't get you through it, right?
I completely agree. And you know, my wife had this brilliant idea. We have 8 kids, Barry.
Wow, congratulations.
Thank you. And when we have birthdays, it's not like a great happy day. I mean, it is. But we think, oh, my God, we're going to get 20 presents. There's going to be 20 pieces of plastic and 20 containers of the plastic came in. And they're going to be littered around the house. And we're going to be in big garbage bags after this birthday. And we got to do that 8 times a year. So my wife was reading Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. And when she was reading that, there's this golden ticket. And she came up with this idea of giving our kids tickets, these like beautiful, almost certificates, these things that they could redeem rather than presents. And it's a great idea. I am so passionate about this idea. And the tickets might say things like stay up an hour late. Or for my older kids, it might say skip school. Or I don't want to tell you. That's the ticket I want for my wife.
Exactly.
And You want that too, I know. So it's a great idea. And yet, I went and I built a website that generated these tickets that anyone could go through and experience the same sort of enjoyment we got from this passion project. And then I went and I went and bought ads, because that's what I do when I have a business that might be successful. I advertise the business. And what I found was that there was nobody willing to pay for the thing that I was really passionate about. And I see that and I say, you know what? I want this product to exist regardless of my ability to make money from it. And in my mind, I sort of say, this is now a passion project. And it's funny, the minute I say it's a passion project, I'm saying I'm willing to ignore its profitability and its profit potential in order to have something that I can enjoy. It's almost a creative outlet. It's something that I'm doing the world a service by bringing it to life. And then on the other side of my brain.
Right.
Yeah.
No, go ahead. No, I think there's a difference. I think there's a difference with saying, hey, I'm going to follow my passion just to follow my passion. I think you should. And then there's some things following your passion and to make money, make a living on it. I mean, that's the distinction you're trying to make.
And that is this funny thing. And I think, you know, I knew your audience has a variety of different backgrounds. But when you're a technology person, I assume this is the same for someone who creates a business. There is an absolute thrill of bringing something that was in your mind, this just pure mind stuff, and you take it from inside your mind into reality, and you create a business that does the thing that was in your mind.
It's a fantastic thing. Jonathan, we've got to leave it there because we're out of time. Thanks so much for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Coming up, how to get your small business unstuck. This AM560 The Answer. We'll be right back.
How can you get from here to there? We've got the answer from the Alarm Detection Systems Traffic Center.
I'm Paul Bodenmoss. We'll look at the roadways. Dan Ryan heading inbound at 67th. There's a report of a stall. Also in the express lanes inbound between 43rd and the Stevenson, there's a report of a stall as well. Also on the Dan Ryan express lanes heading outbound near 47th, there's a report of a crash. Now on the Kennedy, if you're heading inbound between the O'Hare Extension and Harlem, there's long-term road construction in place, but also between Cumberland and Harlem. There's road construction overnight. The two left lanes are closed. That continues until 8 a.m. Then the left lane remains closed until 10 a.m. Also on the outbound Kennedy between Keeler and the Edens Junction, road construction has the three right lanes closed until 8 a.m. And then the right lane remains closed, and that continues until 10 a.m. Also outbound at Keeler, the on-ramp is closed. Tonight, 71 and partly cloudy. Tomorrow, 86 and partly cloudy. Currently 77. Next update in 15 minutes on AM 560, The Answer.
Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company. Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company.
With Barry's 25 years in small business, he's finally discovered the magic formula to make more profit at any company. Business gurus make it sound so complicated, but it's really simple. The formula is P times P equals P. P times P equals P, where people multiplied by process means more profit. Learn how you can take a quantum leap in just 180 days to grow the profit in your business. Contact Barry at barry@moltz.com. That's barry@moltz.com.
Are you stuck? Is this the year you finally grow your business and make more money? During Barry's many years of running his own company, he had to deal with the challenges of a business that just wasn't going anywhere. It was a painful realization. His business had flatlined, and he had no idea how to breathe new life into it. It was especially difficult for Barry since his customers were not getting the service he was so passionate about delivering. Second, he wasn't making any money. Finally, his business was sucking the life out of him. Do any of these sound familiar? Your sales won't budge in spite of your best efforts. You have few new leads for customers coming in and existing customers fading away. You're burned out and completely exhausted. It's no longer fun, and your family suffers as well. If you're one of the millions of small business owners facing these problems every year, Barry has the answer. Check out BarryMaltz.com/unstuck to subscribe to his 6-part video series.
Now, back to Business Insanity Talk Radio. It's time to get your small business unstuck on AM 560. The Answer. Once again, here's Barry Maltz.
Welcome back. You know, you and I are very much alike. During my many years of running my own company, I had to deal with the challenges of a business that just wasn't going anywhere. For me, it was the moment of truth, and it was a painful realization. My business had flatlined, and I had no idea how to breathe new life into it. Does this sound familiar to you? You know, it was especially difficult for me since my customers were not getting the service I was so passionate about delivering to them. Secondly, and probably most importantly, I wasn't making any money. Finally, my stuck business literally was sucking the life out of me. This was not exactly the way that I thought my business would turn out after reading all of those books. Well, it's kind of normal, sort of. During the life cycle of every single business owner, they get stuck from time to time. Do any of these things sound familiar? Take a listen. Your sales won't budge in spite of your best efforts. It doesn't get much more frustrating than this. You have few new leads to customers coming in, and customers keep just fading away. You're burned out and you're completely exhausted. It's no longer fun, and your family is starting to suffer as well. You got to get off the roller coaster. I know what it's like to ride this entrepreneurial roller coaster. I'm here to tell you it doesn't have to be like that. I've had my ups and downs. And I finally cracked the code at getting unstuck and moving your business forward. Over the years, I have worked with hundreds of corporations and small business clients to help identify the sticking points in their systems so they can take their business to the next level. Throughout the decades of running my own businesses, I've identified 6 major areas where almost every small business inevitably gets stuck. This is the year that your business gets unstuck. As you journey through my breakthrough training series, I'm going to show you fast and easy and permanent solutions to get unstuck. Each module includes a guided PowerPoint presentation, a voice recording of me presenting this materials in front of a live audience, downloadable lesson notes, downloadable homework assignments, and audio recordings of the 100 best of Business Insanity Talk Radio over the last 5 years. Whether you learn best by watching, listening, or reading, there is a format for you. I've made it very easy for you to absorb the material and develop a clear plan of action of moving forward. There are 6 steps to a better business. This is what I'm going to guarantee you throughout this course. First module is about find new customers and grow the ones you got. You know the drill. When business is booming, you ignore sales and marketing. And then business slows down. And as a result, you go do sales and marketing. This is a hamster wheel to nowhere. Your business remains flatlined and stuck as long as you stay on what I call the double helix treadmill. I'll show you how to grow your business by tossing out the old paradigms and traditional sales techniques through my easy-to-follow step-by-step guide. I'm going to show you how to increase the revenue of your business without ever having to sell again. Module number 2 is finding money to manage your business. Because guess what? It's already there. As a small business owner, there's a great joke. It says, I sleep like a baby. I go to bed early and wake up at midnight screaming my head off. Does that sound familiar? Cash flow keeps a lot of small business owners up at night. We've all felt the crunch of following the Great Recession. Cash flow has slowed to a trickle. Bank financing is almost impossible. And customers, well, they're just taking longer to pay their bills. I have found that only 5% of small business owners actually understand the secrets to overcoming the cash crunch. Learning this module will always have cash to run your business. Module number 3, building a team that lasts. One of the most difficult elements of growing a business is hiring and then holding on to the right employees. A good rule of thumb is to be slow to hire and quick to fire. Unfortunately, not many business owners follow this advice. Instead, they hire the first person that fits the role. Then when the employee doesn't work out, they hesitate to fire them no matter how many team members think they are incompetent. I'm going to show you how to effectively hire, train, manage, and fire people to maximize the leverage in your business. Module number four, customer service is the new marketing. While this may surprise you, the truth is that customer service is your biggest marketing tool. In this age of social media, traditional advertising really has become meaningless, and people are looking for earned media based on buyers' recommendations. In this module, I'll teach you how to create an effective customer service manifesto so your customer can be served at every level of your organization. Module number five, you got to break that social media addiction. It's no secret. The World Wide Web can be a worldwide waste of time. Most small businesses have no idea what they're doing. I'll show you how to make sure you use social media as your new marketing voodoo. Module number six, the real trick to all of this is boosting your productivity. Recent studies have indicated that multitasking can cause brain damage. At the very least, it prevents you from doing what you do best. It certainly doesn't allow you to get things done effectively. You see, here's the thing. Your employees will mimic the way you work. You could soon have a team filled with inefficient, multitasking workers all running around chasing their tails. Get the picture. I'm going to uncover ways to get more done in half the time. I'm going to make sure that you're productive, not just busy. If you want to be part of this wonderful program, go to www.barrymoltz.com/unstuck. Use the special value code 50 off WIND and get 50% off the price. You'll learn the exact steps you need to take today to move your business to the next level. I guarantee it. So if this is the year that you are really committed to getting your business unstuck and you still have some questions about how it can absolutely, positively change the way you do business, give me a call. I make available to all our business listeners a 15-minute free audit of your business and how I can help you get unstuck. The number is 773-837-8250, available to the first five callers. I guarantee this is your year.
You've already upgraded your cell phone to a smart device, which lets you use the internet to be more productive on the go. But what about your desk phone? Nextiva.
Nextiva
is a smart business phone system in the cloud. With a simple setup through an internet connection, you can soon have access to your office communications wherever you are. Stay seamlessly connected with clients and stay more mobile than ever before for just one low monthly cost. Give your business more than just a basic desk phone. Visit Nextiva.com or call 800-799-0600 to learn more today. Nextiva.
Nextiva.
Simplifying your business communications. Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company.
Lately, it seems you're not feeling quite right, as if your body is working against you. Dr. Amy and Associates can help create a path to achieve optimal health. Experience personalized health care for your mind, body, and spirit at a practice that blends holistic and traditional medicine.
I was involved in a devastating head-on motorcycle accident, which left me broken, battered, and afraid. I turned to Dr. Amy and Associates to care for my broken body. With their help, I healed quickly. I was able to sleep, and the nightmare stopped. I was able to get back on the motorcycle without fear. Since they worked with my insurance, I've used them for allergy and food sensitivity testing, weight loss, massage, acupuncture, and life coaching. They use both Eastern and Western medicine and is a holistic practice like no other. I am so grateful for Dr. Amy and Associates.
Call Dr. Amy and Associates to experience a whole person integrative approach to health and wellness. 630-980-1400 or visit dramyandassociates.com. Dr. Amy and Associates, empowering people, changing lives.
Now, back to Business Insanity Talk Radio. It's time to get your small business unstuck on AM 560. The Answer. Once again, here's Barry Moltz.
Well, it's critical for small business these days to have a mobile app. What if there was an easy way to turn your Facebook page into a mobile app in seconds? Well, there actually is. Here to help is Mac Blueben. He is the co-founder and CEO of Apps Village. He's a serial entrepreneur and has founded multiple technologies and mobile-focused companies. Max, welcome to the show.
Hi, Barry. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for being here. So, how can you actually turn what's on your Facebook page into a mobile app?
So we in App Village understood that mobile app is a very complicated, expensive, a very techy thing, while small business owners or business owners are very expert in their own business, they are less expert in technology. And we understood that Facebook already has a lot of information, branding, content, and this could be a good jump starter to create your app.
And so
to do that, please.
No, tell me how to do it. Yes.
Yeah. So to do that, you go to our website, appsvillage.com, and you just log in with Facebook. You pick your logo you want to have on the mobile device. It usually takes it from your profile picture from the Facebook one. You can change it, and then in around 15 seconds, you can see your app demo, how does it look like, and play with it and understand the benefit it gives you.
So, Max, what does it actually show? What does this app actually do? I understand it takes from your Facebook page, but what does it look like?
Right. So the app gives you the main functionalities you need for your loyal customers. They probably know very 80% of the revenues of the business is usually built on the 20 to 35% right. of your loyal customers. And business usually is very focused on getting new customers, but the fact is that to get a new customer costs you 7 times more than to retain your loyal old customer. So in the app, you can send push notifications, you know, those alerts, with updates, coupons. You can make a full sale, I mean, to put a product there and to have the your customer to buy it from the app itself by credit card or PayPal or Apple Pay. You can schedule an appointment if you have this kind of business, like you're a service provider from a nail salon to any kind of coach or real estate agent or a doctor. You have a cashback mechanism. You know, the cashback is one of the most strongest retention features, that for every buy you make, you get some percent back. You can use in the second visit of the store, and you can also chat with the customers. You know, usually when you propose to launch some kind of update or discount or even a product for sale, you have a lot of questions usually, and now the customer can easily ask you, and you can answer on the spot with your app.
Well, Max, thanks for being on the show. You can go to Apps Village if you'd like to get more information on this. And I want to thank everyone for joining our radio show this week. I want to thank our sponsor, Nextiva. I also want to thank our fantastic staff, especially our booking producer, Sarah Schaffern, our in-studio producer, Debbie Schreiner, our marketing manager, Courtney Dury. If you're serious about being more successful this year, you got to give me a call on my private line. It's 773-837-8250, or you can always email me at barry@moltz.com. Isn't this the year that you finally get your small business unstuck? Isn't this finally the year that you make the money you always expected to? Remember, love everyone, trust the few, but you got to paddle your own canoe. Have a profitable and passionate week.
You can find Barry on the web at barrymoltz.com. You've been listening to Business Insanity Talk Radio.
Convenience.